6 months ago, our lives were interrupted by the COVID-19 pandemic that forced us to shelter at home and suspend our corporate meetings for a time. And while we were apart, I preached from selected Psalms to encourage us during those weeks of uncertainty and impatience. It was then 3 months ago that we began meeting again, although in our current fragmented way, with two services on Sunday mornings, as well as those who've joined us for the live stream. And I presented a summer series on our identity in Christ, asking and answering the question, who am I? In Christ I am. But now we've concluded that series, and where do we go? What now? And I would have us pick up where we left off last spring, if anyone can remember. In 2 Timothy, we resume our study of 2 Timothy this morning in chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, from which I prepared a message titled, The Strong Christian. And I would ask you to consider whether you are strong. Are you a strong person? Are you a strong Christian? Now, normally, if I were to describe you as being a strong candidate for a position, you would be encouraged. If I were to tell you that in our conversation that you had a strong argument, you would be emboldened. We like a strong handshake, and we might prefer strong coffee. We're grateful for strong relationships, and we hope to have a strong economy, because strength is normally a positive virtue. That is, unless you have strong breath, right? That's not so good. But are you a strong person? Are you a strong Christian? You say, Pastor Matt, I used to think that I was a strong person, but no more, because I'm so tired and weary. I can barely keep it together. I can barely keep my head above water. I'm overwhelmed. I feel powerless in life. I am not a strong person. Are you a strong Christian? And maybe you say, well, Pastor, I used to think of myself as a strong Christian, but now I struggle in so many ways. I fear and I doubt. I'm so inconsistent with my walk with the Lord. I more often feel weak than strong. In 2 Timothy 2, the Apostle Paul commanded his young son in the faith, Timothy, to be strong, as illustrated in the activity of a teacher, a soldier, an athlete, and a farmer. If you look at the text, 2 Timothy 2, verse number 1, you therefore, my son Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Let me pause for prayer, and then we'll unpack the text together. Lord, we thank you so much for the opportunity we have now in this place, in this moment, to read your holy word, to be instructed by it from your Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask that you would strengthen us this morning. We feel weak. We're tired. Lord, we need your strength so that we might persevere. I pray that our study this morning might give us what we need to live for you for another day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 2 Timothy 2, verse number 1, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. If you're following the outline of prepared, number one, the imperative is be strong, or the command. The imperative or the command is be strong. But grammatically, that command is in the passive voice. Be strong is in the passive. What does that mean? If the subject does the action of the verb, we call it the active voice. For example, Bobby hit the ball. That's the active voice. On the other hand, if the subject receives the action of the verb, we call it the passive voice. Bobby was hit by the ball. That is the passive voice. And Paul's command for Timothy was not that Timothy do the action of the verb in this case, but rather receive the action in this case. And for that reason, I think the best translation of 2 Timothy 2, verse number 1, is found in the English Standard Version, which says, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The Pastor Matt paraphrase would put it this way, let the grace of Jesus Christ empower you. See, folks, many times we try to live our Christian lives in our own strength. and we attempt to defeat the wicked one and serve the Lord and reach the lost and obey God's will in our own strength, we grit our teeth, we flex our muscles, we gather ourselves up by our bootstraps trying to be strong. But you cannot live the victorious Christian life in your own strength alone. And just as a power tool is not powerful without a power source, whether that be gas or electricity or today a battery pack, neither can the Christian be strong unless he is plugged into and dependent upon the power source, drawing upon the grace of God in Jesus Christ. And Paul's imperative or command to Timothy to be strong is an exhortation from his own life experience in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. You'll recall in 2 Corinthians 12 that Paul had a thorn in the flesh. We don't know what that ailment might have been. Perhaps it was the physical ailment of poor eyesight. Perhaps it was the result of an injury. Others believe that it was the antagonistic critic who was constantly harassing Paul in his ministry. But what we do know is that by the grace of God, Paul found the strength to accept it as God's will for him and to persevere. And Paul prayed three times that God would deliver him from that thorn in the flesh. God explained to Paul, "Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness." And Paul responded, "Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." It's one of the great paradoxes of the Christian life. And similarly, Paul wrote to the Philippians, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Folks, you may be here this morning, you may be watching the live stream of this service, and you say, "Pastor, I feel so weak right now. I am tired and I am weary." Maybe you're a mother whose kids are crawling the walls, and you can't wait for them to go back to school, pandemic or no pandemic, right? The kids go back to school because you are exhausted. Maybe you're a spouse who feels alone in your marriage. You aren't sure that anything will change. Maybe you've been to every doctor. You've tried every medication, but nothing seems to help. Maybe you're hurting in some way that cannot be explained. And then you're expected to stay strong, to be strong. Know that the imperative in 2 Timothy 2, verse number 1, the imperative to be strong is in the passive. It's be strong, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You say, "Okay, Pastor, but how? How do we do this?" People self-medicate in many different ways to address their problems. Some people eat, some people sleep, some people shop. Some people try to escape their problems by binge watching their favorite TV series. Some people perhaps seek some self-improvement program to overcome in their lives. But Paul's counsel is to find strength in the grace of God through Jesus Christ. You say, "Yes, Pastor, you already said that. But how?" When we go back to the grace that is in Christ Jesus, that is the gospel. When we go back to the gospel, we are renewed and strengthened. Think with me on the gospel for a moment. God loves you. Jesus Christ died for you. In Christ, you are forgiven. In Christ, you are adopted. In Christ, you are safe and secure. We just spent a whole summer talking about these things. And when we return to the gospel, when we look to the grace that is in Christ Jesus, we find ourselves strengthened. So you are weak this morning, and perhaps understandably so. What do you do? Where do you go? How does this work? Turn your attention and your affection back to the gospel and find strength. So then, if verse number one answers the how question, how can I be strong? How can I be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus? Verses 2 through 6 will answer the what question. What does the strong Christian look like? And to answer the what question in verses 2 through 6, Paul gives us illustrations, the illustrations. Now, illustrations are helpful because illustrations take the theory and bring it to reality. Illustrations are helpful because it takes the abstract and makes it concrete. Illustrations are helpful because they paint a picture for our minds to see and help us identify the truth in a practical way. And so following the imperative, the passive imperative, be strengthened in the grace, passive voice, Paul then gives us four illustrations that describe the activity of a strong Christian, what a strong Christian looks like. And the first is a wise teacher, letter A. The wise teacher. Look at verse number 2. And the things that you have heard from me, from the Apostle Paul, among many witnesses, commit these things to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Now, Paul knew that the time of his martyrdom was near, and he was desiring that Timothy come to Rome and visit him before his death. If you can read of that in chapter 4, verse number 9. But if Timothy were to leave Ephesus to come visit Paul in a Roman prison, the truth of the gospel would be left alone in Ephesus, and it might be discarded or disregarded in Ephesus. So to preserve and to safeguard the truth of the gospel for future generations, Paul commanded Timothy, be strong or be strengthened and commit or entrust the truth of the gospel as a wise teacher to faithful men. And this idea is not such a novel idea. That's the heart of God's plan is given in the Great Commission. We are to make disciples through teaching. That is the mandate and the mission of the church is to teach. And so while Timothy may have been a great organizer or he may have been a great administrator, the impact of his Christian life among the Ephesians would be his teaching that would endure. And a strong Christian is first a wise teacher. You say, see, Pastor, you've made my point already. I am not a strong Christian because I'm not a seminary professor. You say, Pastor, you've made my point already. I'm not a strong Christian because I'm not even a Sunday school teacher. I'm just a mom or dad. Okay, that's excellent. That's excellent because follow this. The first stage in the relay, the spiritual relay of teaching, actually predated Paul's teaching of Timothy or of Timothy's teaching of faithful men who are going to teach others also. The first stage in that spiritual relay of teaching began back in chapter 1, verse number 5. Look there. It was Eunice and it was Lois. It was Timothy's mother and grandmother who taught Timothy as a child. Turn the page to chapter 3, verse 14. 2 Timothy 3, verse 14. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Mother and grandmother, to be specific. Verse 15, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which were able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Folks, one of the most important things you can do as a Christian is to teach your children and your grandchildren about God and the gospel. Christian, mom or dad, make it your mission in life to teach or instruct your children in the Holy Scriptures now and always. I think one of the great casualties of the pandemic in the life of our church has been, over these last 6 months, has been the suspension of teaching opportunities among children. My children haven't been to Sunday school in 6 months. There is a loss that we have experienced in that. You see, it began with mom and dad. It began with mother and grandmother in the life of Timothy. And then it was the Apostle Paul who taught and trained Timothy in the presence of many other witnesses. Chapter 2, verse number 2. Those witnesses certainly would have included Paul's fellow co-workers, Barnabas and Silas. Those witnesses would have included every stop on the missionary journeys of Paul. But Paul's teaching was not private, it was public in the presence of many witnesses. And now it's time for Timothy, as a strong Christian, to teach others also and continue the relay. It was time for Timothy to entrust the truths that he had learned to men under his care. And as a wise teacher, he was to find faithful men. And evidently, there were men who had proven their love for the Lord and their giftedness in the service of the Lord, and they were pre-qualified for the responsibility of safekeeping the truths of God's word. And what a difference that makes. A wise teacher will teach the teachable and reach the reachable. In fact, the book of Proverbs says that if you teach a fool, he'll hate you. But if you teach a faithful man, he'll increase learning. And so these faithful men could continue the relay by teaching others. A strong Christian is a wise teacher. A strong Christian, is secondly a good soldier. A good soldier. And if you look at verses 3 and 4, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has enlisted him as a soldier. A strong Christian is a good soldier. And it's not only to Timothy that Paul wrote these things, but also to the Ephesians. Paul said, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. That's what we're trying to do. We're strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, Christian soldier, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So it's not only to Timothy Paul wrote these things, it's not only to the Ephesians that Paul wrote these things, but also to the Corinthians. For though we walk in the flesh, we live in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. And the longer I live, the more I understand that the nature of the Christian life is not about personalities or about programs or politics. It's a battle royal. It is fierce combat. It is warfare. And we are soldiers, and good soldiers are characterized by these things. First, we must endure hardship. We must endure hardship. Verse number 3, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, I have never served in the military, but I have the greatest respect for those who have. And for those of you who have, thank you for your service. I never served in the military in part because I fear that I would not have made it in the military. I fear I would have been booted out of boot camp, probably, because I don't know if I have what it takes to be a soldier. I don't know if I'm strong enough to be a soldier. I don't know if I could endure the necessary hardships of being a soldier. Of course, when we think of a soldier, we think of our most elite special forces here in America. We of course, have the Army Rangers and the Marine Recon, and perhaps most popular, the Navy SEALs. Listen to the code of the Navy SEALs. Listen, this is the code of the Navy SEALs. Loyal to country, team, and teammates. Serve with honor and integrity on and off the battlefield. Ready to lead, ready to follow, never quit. Take responsibility for your actions and the actions of your teammates. Excel as warriors through discipline and innovation. Train for war. Fight to win. Defeat our nation's enemies. Earn your trident every day. That is the code for the Navy SEALs. Now, compare that to what one church has promoted on their website. And I quote, "At Life Church, we want you to have a wonderful Sunday experience. We have created multiple worship opportunities to make sure that there is an option that fits your busy schedule. When you arrive at our campus, you can expect to be greeted with a warm welcome, a complimentary cup of coffee, and help from our team to find a seat and enjoy the experience. You will experience dynamic worship, hear stories of real-life change through video and special elements, and receive an uplifting message of hope. If you are visiting for the first time, we will not embarrass you or have you stand up. We know that many people want to check out the church and be anonymous for a while, and that's fine with us. Come in, enjoy the relaxed atmosphere, and see if this is the church for you." Folks, Christianity is not a playground, but a battlefield. The Christian life and the assembly of God's people is not a day spa, but barracks for the soldiers of the cross. And Christianity is not designed to make you comfortable and meet all your felt needs. Rather, we are at war. And a good soldier will endure hardship. Now, we know, unfortunately, that at times soldiers go AWOL in the heat of hardship. But a good soldier, a strong soldier, endures. And a strong Christian endures and perseveres. You say, but Pastor, I don't have it within me. I am weak. Then be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, you see. Allow yourself to be strengthened, to be that teacher, to be that soldier. Enduring hardship, but also a good soldier must not entangle himself. And that's there at the beginning of verse number 4. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. This is a matter of engagement and entanglement. A soldier that is engaged in warfare cannot be entangled with civilian affairs. Now, there's nothing inherently wrong about civilian affairs, but they are certainly not to interfere with the fight. And Jesus acknowledged that such a call to duty demanded a disconnection or a separation from the affairs of this life. As he said to his disciples, they journeyed on the road and someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. It's a good thing to do. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead. But you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. Say goodbye to my family. That's a good thing to do. But Jesus said to him, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. He said, that's pretty heartless. It's a little insensitive of Jesus. The point is this, you cannot hang on to the past and move forward at the same time. You cannot be entangled with the affairs of this life and the priorities of this life and at the same time fight the good fight of faith as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You must not entangle yourself. There's a third characteristic. You must please your commander. The end of verse number 4, that he may please him who enlisted him to be a soldier. The motivations of a good soldier, a genuine desire to please the one who enlisted him to be a soldier. And so Paul says to Timothy, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Think on the gospel. Find your source of strength there. And then, so that it looks like this, it looks like a wise teacher, it looks like a good soldier. And third, it looks like the honest athlete in verse number 5. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. And several times in the Apostle Paul's letters to the churches, in his epistles, he used the metaphor of an athlete, and here again in 2 Timothy 2, verse number 5. Of course, we know that because of the worldwide pandemic, the 2020 Olympic Games in Tokyo were postponed until 2021. If you think that your summer has been a disappointment, think about those athletes who prepared themselves to be in peak performance this summer, and now they have to wait a whole nother year. At the Olympic Games, the best human athletes in the world compete at various contests, and perhaps you prefer the Winter Olympics over the Summer Olympics or vice versa, but many of those games are won by a fraction of a point or a fraction of a second on the clock. And the difference between first and second place is not always a matter of talent or effort, but of technical error. And even the most gifted and determined athletes will not win the prize unless they compete according to the rules. In fact, today you must even pre-qualify in time trials and in meeting weight requirements. And today you can be disqualified even before you even begin the race. Perhaps you've broken the rules and used performance-enhancing drugs. You must play by the rules. This is what Paul wrote to the Corinthians. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things, or self-controlled. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should be disqualified. And a strong Christian is a believer who conquers himself before he tries to conquer the world. And if our ethics or our integrity or our character disqualifies us from the race, we actually render ourselves weaker than any other. We are powerless to compete. And so we must be honest as an athlete in striving for the prize. There's a final illustration Paul gives us, the hardworking farmer in verse number six, the hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. I don't know if there's any farmers here this morning. Perhaps we have one or two, or perhaps some of you that grew up on a farm. It's probable that all of us have met some farmers along the way. I've met many farmers. I've met farmers who are rich. I've met farmers who are poor. I've met farmers who are young and old. I've met farmers who are rude. I've met farmers that are nice, at least Minnesota nice. But I've never met a lazy farmer, because there's no such thing as a lazy farmer. The farmer begins his day early and he finishes his day late. He endures the cold and the heat and the rain and the drought. And he doesn't work when it's convenient, but when it's necessary to plant or to weed or to fertilize or to harvest, he gets his hands dirty and his muscles get sore and his body sweats and he works hard. Folks, a strong Christian is one who labors, who works hard. You say, but that sounds like work salvation or work sanctification. No. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 10, I labored more abundantly than they all. I'm the hardest worker there is, Paul claimed. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Do you see that connection there? You say, okay, Pastor, what's the point? You have a teacher, you have a soldier, you have an athlete, you have a farmer. Is this some sort of riddle? Look at verse number 7. Verse number 7. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. These images or these illustrations are for us to understand what a strong Christian looks like. These images and these illustrations are to encourage us to be that strong Christian. And under inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, Paul is saying, think about it. Ponder it. Look at your own life and consider, how can I be a strong Christian? That's verse number 1. And what does a strong Christian look like? That's verses 2 through 6. Your strength, folks, comes from the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Look to the gospel. How can I be strong? How can I be strengthened by? It's the gospel truths that we talked of all summer long. And then what does it look like? These examples. The teacher is rewarded in enriching his students. The soldier is rewarded in pleasing his commander. The athlete is rewarded in receiving the prize, the trophy. And the farmer is rewarded with the best share of the crop. Be strong in the Lord. And may your Christian life look like one of these illustrations or examples, or perhaps others that we might think of. But in all of these things, find your strength in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the encouragement of this hour, for the encouragement of this text. Lord, I pray for the Fourth Baptist Church, each man, woman, and child, that you would strengthen them by your Spirit in the inner man, that they might find the source, the power source of their strength to be in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us. I pray, Lord, that you would find us to be one of these examples as a Christian. May we be strong in the Lord. For I pray it in His name. Amen.